for a second.
Thank you, Steve, and friends. And he does have some friends. He's got Carissa, his beautiful daughters, Sarah, Eric, and Michael. Thank you so much. We have a little teasing thing going on about his friends. Now, the children are going to leave now with Sue. I want to tell you a little more about Lisa Thomas. She is as wonderful as Steve implied in the prayer, that beautiful prayer he led us in. Lisa and her husband Isaac and their two children, David and Grace, are members of St. Joseph Parish in Crescent Springs. And they both are doctors, Isaac and Lisa. And they just touch people in many, many beautiful ways. Their son is away at college. Their daughter's graduating from high school this year. And Lisa truly lives her faith. As a doctor, she often prays with people in her office. She's a rheumatologist, and she works in the Edgewood office here, And she is just wonderful with it when it's appropriate. She will pray with her patients. I've heard people tell me about this. And she, at St. Joseph, she's involved in Father Joe's Inner Healing Service in Mass, which we do now every other month. She's on the prayer team there at St. Joseph. And as a member of church, works in the mustard seed. She's all over the place, and we love her dearly. And I think that's enough to say about my dear friend Lisa. And, she's getting hooked up there, so I'll go on a little longer.
Oh, no, we want you to stop so we can...
She's also a lector in our parish, and Mark has been teasing Anne. He gave a beautiful talk last week on love, and now Lisa giving the talk on salvation. They're both from St. Joseph. He said we're going to have a little bit of rivalry going on here. Not really, not at all.
All right. Oh, yeah. You guys can hear me all the way at the back. Thank you, Carol, for that wonderful introduction. So the topic is on salvation. So those of you who are here to discuss the deep theology of salvation, you're all in the wrong room. Father Baiju will take that topic up at a later date. That's salvation pre-01. What we're going to do today is salvation 101, which is just the basic, simple, practical, everyday salvation. So I grew up in a Catholic family, devout Catholic parents, went through all the sacraments, more like a rite of passage, I would say, didn't really know or understand or appreciate the depth of anything that the Catholic Church had to offer. And I always heard, Jesus saves, God saves, our salvation is through Christ. Never once did I ask that question, why? Do I really need salvation? Maybe it's for somebody else. Maybe there's a select group of people out there that really need it, because I truly didn't think that I needed salvation. And so to answer that question, we're going to go back in history. We're going to take a little History 101 lesson from Genesis. So we all know the story of Adam and Eve. And God created Adam and Eve. So when he did this, he gave them a super deal. In fact, he gave them an all-inclusive luxury package. Hear me out here. So he made them, first of all, and this is just starters, in the image and likeness of God. How would you feel if you're walking down the road and somebody says, hey, I saw God pass by? So this is an awesome privilege that he gave them. Number two, he gave them a luxury place to live in. Garden of Eden, paradise. They could eat anything they want. They could rule the creatures. They governed there. They were the kings and the queen of that place. Number three, they spoke with God face to face. How would you, I just can't imagine even coming in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament up close. But here they were, face to face, speaking with God, He come, he talked to them. How was your day? What did you do? Walked with them in the garden. Awesome. And number four, they had a deep, intimate relationship with God. So this was the all-inclusive package that he gave them. Now, with any of these luxury packages, there's always some terms and conditions. We know the fine print. But with God, he just gave them one simple rule. Not the Ten Commandments, not the 613 laws of the Torah. He just gave them one simple commandment. Do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what did he say? He said, if you eat, that day you will die. That's all he said. So, as with any rule, we know parents, children, you tell them, don't do that. That's the first thing they want to do. So, as the story has it, Adam and Eve broke the rule. They disobeyed God. And, term of the contract, they got kicked out of Eden. So, what happened here? Sin, we read, we know, when we read scripture, we know that sin entered when they disobeyed. And what is sin? Sin is separation of man from God. So last week when Aaron was talking, she told you about a veil, 60 feet long, 30 wide, 4 inches thick, that separated the people from the Holy of Holies. It was a separation because the presence of God is holy, sin is a barrier, and so there was a barrier between the people and the Holy of Holies. So Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God, fell from their divine nature, and now they're in sin, they have a fallen nature. This is, if they were left there, what did God say? They would die. They would have eternal death. And so they needed, actually, to be brought up from this level back to the divine level, back into a true and deep relationship with God. And so the answer, yes, we need to be saved. We need somebody to get us back into a true and right relationship with God. Now, who would be able to do this? I guess you all know the answer. That would be God. Why? Because man messed up. He made a total mess. Well, woman too, of course, but both of them together. And so now they're in a position that they need to be lifted up. They are in sin. They need to be set free. And only God could do that. And so what did God do? He decided to take care of business. So how did he do this? But before that, why? Why do you think God put up with all of this? Of course, he told them, he gave them everything. They, you know, disobeyed him. But God is love. And he created man and woman. He created each and every one of us because he loved us. And he can't bear to be separated from us. And because of this abundant love, indescribable love, he wants to reestablish that relationship with man. And as a result, he decided they needed, we needed saving. And so, what does God do? How does he accomplish this? He sends his only begotten Son. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. And so who are the whosoever that believe in? It's you and me, brothers and sisters. We who believe in Jesus Christ are the ones that are able to not perish, but have eternal life. And so Jesus, in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God, the super God that created the supernovas, that created the galaxies, humbled himself and became man, became human. Why? As Steve was saying in the beginning, the Son of God, and this is again Thomas Aquinas, Son of God became the Son of Man. Why? So that we who are the sons of God can be elevated in union with him, in partnership with him, in believing, in partaking of his divinity, we can be elevated to the level of sons of God. In fact, raised up to the level of being gods. And that's what Jesus did. So he came, he suffered, he died, he was crucified, and he rose from the dead. And in a nutshell, that is the essence of our salvation. God loves us, he saved us, he sent his son, died for us, rose again, we have our ticket to heaven, we have our ticket to eternal life. But this is just the beginning of salvation. But it is so, so much more. Salvation is a process. It is a journey. It's not something that we want to think about towards the end of our journey. It's now. Every day we get up, we need to work out our salvation. St. Paul says, work out your salvation with the reverential fear and trembling. So how, brothers and sisters, are we going to work out this salvation? So when Jesus died, he paid the penalty of all the sins, past, present, and future. Now, I want to take you back to history, back to the Old Testament, just to kind of give you a background here. In the Old Testament, when the Jewish people had to make atonement for sin, what they would do is take an unblemished, that is a pure male lamb. They would sacrifice the lamb, take the blood of the lamb, and would sprinkle, the high priest would sprinkle it on the congregation. And the blood made atonement, made remedy, made paid the debt, so to speak, for the sin. Because God said, if you disobey, the punishment is sin. The wages or the punishment or the outcome of sin is death. Not just physical death, but death of our soul, death of our spirit. And so when the blood is the life-giving force of any creature, and so when you have death, you want to pay it back with life. And that is why there was a sacrificial lamb, the blood of which was used to pay for sin. And that is why Jesus, who is our unblemished lamb, became man so that he could offer himself as a true and perfect sacrifice to pay the debt of our sin. Salvation is a journey. It is a life that is filled with peace, with joy, with power, with strength, with courage. It is just not, you know, just not a, as some, when you think about it, you think it's like way high out there, but it isn't. It's just a practical way that we live the everyday life. So let me kind of show you what our everyday life may look like. I kind of think some of my past might look like this, and maybe some of you may identify with that. But what does our spiritual life look like now? And then what could it look like with the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Because God wants the Holy Spirit in our lives to guide our lives, to lead our lives, and to be able to direct it so that we can go through this journey victoriously. We can go through this with power and strength. We can be filled with the light of Christ within us, and then through our cracks and holes and whatnot, the light of Christ might shine through and reach other people and bring them in. So not only does it empower us, encourages us to walk this Christian life, but it also encourages the community, brings other people to Christ. So let's say that you and your friend are having a discussion. The discussion then becomes a little heated, becomes an argument, and then you might say a few words in anger, maybe a few colorful words. And then what happens? You are angry, you are upset, and so we carry this burden of anger against whoever it was, and we keep walking along. And ultimately, the anger, I worded this right, becomes hatred. Yes. And so we're carrying this burden as we go. Now, we come across a colleague of ours who was working with us, and we were in line for a promotion. So we worked hard, we were thinking I was gonna get a promotion, but what happened? Somebody else got the promotion. And in fact, it might be somebody that you think shouldn't have deserved the promotion. And so that makes me bitter. So we put that burden on, the burden of bitterness. Still working. I'm standing on something? Uh-oh. All right, see what happens when you sin. It's just... things fall apart. Got it on right. So now we're carrying anger and we're carrying bitterness. Thank you. And as we keep going along, we have a mate. They have the Midas touch. Whatever that person does, prospers. They're healthy, they're wealthy, they've got big cars, big houses, fashion, clothes, accessories, and so that makes you envious. And so what do? You get your designer green envy glasses and you put them on. Oh, Lord, I can't see. Okay, but this is what envy does. It totally blinds you to everything. And then we have another friend. Actually, this was a very close friend whom you had a deep and personal relationship with. You shared a lot of things. In fact, you started a business together and put in money. And one day, this friend cheated, took all your money. Your reputation is in shards. You're left with a mess to clean up, and the friend disappears. You are so upset. You can't believe that this person would stab you in the back. And so what happens? You carry unforgiveness. Hey, people, I can't see too well, but I hope this is the right back. Yes, you carry unforgiveness. So now I have unforgiveness on one side, I have bitterness and anger on the other side, and I can't see too well where I'm going. But oh, there's still one more. This one, even though I'm saying it last, is not the least. It is pride, the sin of pride. You feel that you're better than everybody else. In fact, religious pride is even more subtle. What? I go to church every day. I bet you guys do. And I partake in the sacraments. In fact, I don't commit as many sins that that person does, or she does. You know what? It is so good that I love to be in their company because it makes me look like a saint. So I put on the cap of pride. Oh, I see somebody waving there. Who is that? Zeph, Blaine? Oh, see, honey, I can't see you. I got the glasses of envy. I can't hear a word that you're saying. All right, can't you see I'm kind of busy with these bags here? I'm trying to organize and walk, and my back hurts, my head hurts. Please sit down. I'll get back to you later. I have enough energy to deal with you. So you see, people, what happens? This is what sin does to you. You can't, I mean, nobody can give you advice. You can't hear it. You can't see where you're going. You stumble and fall, and it hurts. You're tired. And you wonder why. No wonder doctors are in business. So, is this the life? I'm going to take these glasses off. It's like, yeah, ha! There you are, guys. So, is this the life that Jesus intended for you? No. Jesus didn't die so that you could trade a miserable, sinful life for a miserable, sanctified life. No, that's not what he did. When he died on the cross, right over here, he nailed every single sin to this cross. The debt of the sin is paid, and our salvation has been bought with the price of blood. So we need to understand the power of Jesus' salvation. We need to know that we don't have to be walking around lugging all these burdens, but we can give it up to Christ. And this is the beautiful blessing that the Catholic Church gives you. We have the sacraments. Sacraments of baptism, sacrament of reconciliation, our Eucharist. Baptism, as Steve said at the beginning, cleanses us from original sin. And reconciliation, oh, that's an awesome sacrament. I really recommend that you make avail of it as frequently because it's a free session. And it's a really, really good cleansing session. So what we need to do is we need to unburden all of this. Scripture says in Hebrews 12:1, we need to get rid of sin and burdens that cling to us. And that's the important thing. We don't realize that these things cling to us. We don't even know that we're walking and with all these burdens. So Scripture says we need to get rid of this And we need to persevere in this race, in this journey. So, what am I going to do? First of all, I'm going to take these glasses of envy, my designer glasses. I'm going to put them at the foot of the cross of Jesus. Then we're going to take off the pride hat right there. I'm going to get rid of, let's see, unforgiveness. And we're going to, again, give it up to Jesus, get rid of, oh, well. I'm stuck. Thank you. Oh, that is awesome. See, bitterness and anger. All of these we are giving up to Jesus. And so now, hands are free. I'm able to move. I can dance. Oh, this is awesome. So, what is salvation? Salvation is a free gift that God gives you. But we need to use the tools of salvation and walk through this journey of life. And what is it that God is giving you? When Jesus was going back to heaven, he said, I will not leave you abandoned. I will not leave you alone. But I will give you the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? He is our comforter, counselor, healer, lawyer, insurance agent, mortgage person. Let me ask you a question, brothers and sisters. Are you investors or are you gamblers? I hope you say investors because, well, we do have a lot of gambling casinos around here. But are you investors or are you going to gamble your spiritual eternity? So, if you are a car mechanic and you have no tools, that car's not going to get repaired. If you're a surgeon, no instruments, that surgery is not going to happen. So if we need to work out our salvation, we need to have the necessary tools, we need to have the necessary instruments that allow us to really partake, really move forward in this journey. And what is it that God gives us? God gives us the Holy Spirit. So we need to grab hold, free hands, no burden, grab hold of the gift of salvation, open the box up, aha, and what do we have? We have fruits of the Holy Spirit. What are the fruits that are developed within us? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. This is what the Spirit will develop within you. And then we have another one. We have gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are the gifts? There are so many gifts, I can't list all of them. But there are gifts of courage, piety, peace, joy. And there are supernatural gifts, like gifts of speaking in tongues, gifts of prophecy, gift of knowledge. I'm just going to mention a little about the gift of tongues. And the reason is, I'm going to share with you my journey into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So as I said, I was born and raised in a Catholic family and did all the right Catholic things. If you were to grade me in Catholicism, I bet you all those boxes would be check, 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 check. Go for Mass? Yes. Avail of the sacraments? Yes. Not maybe confession, not as much, but okay. Be charitable when I think about it. So maybe I would get a B minus, okay, maybe not an A plus, but still, I was, on paper, a really good Catholic. But I still felt, as I was growing, and once I reached my early 30s, that there was something missing in this whole picture. In fact, I have three sisters, and all of them, in their journey, had come across the charismatic movement and been involved with the Holy Spirit. And when I was speaking with them, they had a sense of peace and joy that I could not describe. It wasn't like they didn't have challenges or they didn't have trials. They did. But the way they approached each one of these was just with such calm and such joy that I was thinking, we were all raised by the same parents, the same household, the same culture, the same background. But what do they have that I don't have? And how am I able to get a piece of that? So, with me, I like to plan everything out. Everything is organized, scheduled, and in nice compartments. So I thought, what could I do to get the show on the road? All right, maybe go for more masses, maybe every day, maybe, and then maybe lecture. I even taught the liturgy for the children. But after all of this, I still felt that I had a hole in my heart, a round hole that I was trying to fill with a square peg. And so, 2008, I made my Life of the Spirit seminar. And just like you are here, went through the weeks, went through the talks, went through the small group discussions, and week number five, there is a time that we are prayed over to receive the Holy Spirit. I just want to give you a few practical points that I thought was really important. When you are being prayed over, you're receiving the Holy Spirit inside of you. You're really receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We already have the Spirit through all our sacraments, but we're just kind of being totally immersed and filled. So when you're receiving the gift, if you receive a gift like this, it's hard to give anybody a gift. It's like you're all buttoned up. So we need to be open. We need to, you know, really hunger and really desire for the Holy Spirit so that Spirit can fill us. I was thinking that as I was going to be prayed over, I have read many stories, and I thought maybe I would see two angels, hear some trumpets, thunder, clap, I don't know, feel tingly, warm. I've heard of all these stories. Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I felt nothing. I thought, oh boy, it's not going well. But it is not a feeling. It is never a feeling. God gives abundantly. He knows what each and every one of us need, every one of us desire, and what we need to improve our relationship with Him and thereby increase the community, the strength and the power of the community, so that each of us can be Christ to others. And so after I was prayed over, one of the team leaders said, why don't you say a few syllables? Now, I really desired the gift of tongues, because all my sisters had it, and I was like, I'm not going to be left out of this. I need that. And if you want to give me anything else in the process, I'm happy with that, but I need that. So the gift of tongues is a prayer language, is all that it is. If I were to speak, I speak three languages fluently, and if I were to speak in one of those languages, it wouldn't bother anybody. You wouldn't understand a word of what I said, but it really wouldn't make you feel, you know, fearful or anything. You're just thinking I'm talking something. So the spirit language is you allow the Holy Spirit to use your tongue to pray a perfect prayer. And that's all it is, making yourself available, allowing the Spirit to use your tongue to pray a perfect prayer. This language edifies you, increases your depth of relationship with Christ, and also brings the community, makes the community stronger. So as I was prayed over, I received three syllables. And I was like, okay, wow, this is good, three syllables. Then I got home, doubt set in. And this may happen to some of you, maybe not to all of you. But I was thinking, did I pick a syllable from one of each of the languages I knew and just kind of rolled it up, and here we have three syllables? So, what I did then, I kept on praying, I kept on repeating the syllables, and eventually the whole language came to fruition. So what I want to say is that it is inside of you, even though the physical outward manifestation may not be immediately evident, it will come out. It's kind of like, you know, I remember my spiritual godmother once telling me, it's kind of like you're receiving a shoe. Maybe that's not a good example, but think about it, okay? The shoe has a body, it has a soul, and it has a tongue. You can't separate all these things. So you have it within you as you are being prayed over. So remember that it will come forth and it will come to fruition. So back to the question, are you investors? Yes, God wants to give you the power of the Holy Spirit and all that comes with the Holy Spirit so that we can invest in our spiritual future. So brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask the last question. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? We know God loves us. We know God saves. We know Jesus came to give us, purchase our salvation by dying and rising. And we know that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have the powerful infilling of the Holy Spirit to guide us, lead us, strengthen us, help us to walk this journey so that we can be very powerful warriors, soldiers for Christ. And so, at the end, we want to say, as St. Paul did, I have run the race. I have completed the course. I have kept the faith. And now the victor's crown is mine. And so, as we go through this Life of the Spirit seminar, be open, be humble, be yearn to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Know that the salvation God promises each and every one of us is through the Holy Spirit. So what does God want? What does God really want to do through this seminar? Okay, I'm going to stand right up over here. And so if you are this bag, he wants to unzip you. He wants to get rid of all this junk. And he wants to stuff you with the Holy Spirit and zip you right back up. There we go. So if you are squeezed, what comes out? The Holy Spirit. So when you walk, when you talk, when you are communicating with other people, anything, it is the Holy Spirit that comes out. So this is what we are in store for. So before I end, I'm going to pray so that we can be open to receiving all the gifts that God wants us to give us. Father God, I want to thank and praise you. I want to thank and praise you for this time. I want to thank and praise you that you love us. And I want to thank and praise you that you are an awesome God and you give us salvation. You gave us Jesus, and Jesus came and died so that we could be free of sin and live a wonderful, peaceful, joyful, productive, fruitful life. So that as we go from here to our families, to our communities, people will identify us and hopefully mistake us for God walking down the road. And so we just want to thank and praise you. We want to ask that our minds be open, our hearts be open, our lives be open to receiving all the fullness that the Holy Spirit is giving us, will continue to give us, and so that we can be charged, stirred up, on fire to do your will. God says, who is there to do my will? And we need to say, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Mother Mary, guardian angels, intercede on our behalf. All of this we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.